Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank and praise you that we can be here this morning and that we can once again hear your word. We ask you that to bless our reflections on what you have said to us through this parable. And may you help us to apply the gospel today so that we are better and better servants of you and better we may better proclaim your word to the people around us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. These are parables very common in the gospel, of course. Jesus often used parables to talk about the kingdom of God and about the gospel and what he is teaching. Mostly about the kingdom of God, however. He often says, what is the kingdom of God like? The kingdom of God is like, and then he will say, tell his parable. And I think it's one of those things that we really need to be thinking about today, because Jesus starts with what people know, and he tells them what they don't know. He starts with what people know, and he tells them what they don't know. And the word parable is really, again, an interesting word in English. What is an English word, another English word like parable? Comparable. So a thing that's comparable means you're comparing two things to one another. And so, of course, he's comparing the kingdom of God, which we don't know about, or many people don't know about, to something we do know about. And in these two parables in Luke and Matthew always go together. They go together, and he concludes this little section by saying, things that are not known, that have been hidden, are now known. And what was once hidden is now known and revealed. So we have to ask ourselves, what is it that's been revealed? And in the first parable here, he's talking about a mustard seed tree. Who's ever seen a mustard tree? Anyone seen a mustard tree? Where did you see a mustard tree, Benson? Oh, okay. Yeah, right. We've got a picture of one. Can we just try the first? That's a mustard. Does it look like that? Ah, you're much smaller. This is a mustard tree. Okay, so most of us, only one of us have seen a mustard tree. And so one of the first things we encounter in looking at this section of the Bible is that what was so well known to the people in Jesus' time and place in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, they saw every day, is something we have never seen. What do you notice about that tree? It's very bushy and leafy, and it's very dense. Their leaves are very densely put together. And so when Jesus uses that image, he's specifically chosen the mustard tree for a purpose. And we have to then start to unravel why he has chosen this tree. And so as Christians now, in the 21st century, we have to sort of put ourselves back into the first century to understand how they understood what Jesus is saying. What was he saying? What was this thing that they knew so well, which we don't know very well at all? Now, one of the key things about that is that it's a garden plant. He says it's quite specifically a garden plant. Does that look like a garden plant? So in gardens, that's what you see. In other words, he's saying it's not a forest plant. It's not a forestry. It's a garden plant. It's something you see in the gardens. It's something you see in town. It's something you see very regularly. So he's chosen a plant that people at the time saw very regularly and all the time. He makes also the point that who uses this tree? Or what uses this tree? Birds. So birds come into the tree and they sit in the tree and they nest, which can also be translated as build their, they perch, but should also be translated as build their nests. In other words, this is the tree in which birds, to which birds come to make their nests and to perch and to relax. So why would they choose this tree? If you just look at it, it's dense leaf and it's protective from the heat and from other animals. And so this tree is a tree which protects and nurtures birds. Can we have the next little one? And that's the berry. And one of the things you know, or when you research this parable, is you find that one of the reasons why birds go to this particular tree is that mustard seeds, as which Jesus mentions, are very small, but birds love to eat them. And so they go there to eat the seed. And so Jesus is working on people's knowledge of this, that they would understand that the tree is a garden plant, it is thick, birds go there, and that birds go there for the to nest, but also because it produces fruit that they can eat. So which trees in Auckland have a lot of birds perching? Can you think of any trees around where you go past and you think, gee, that's... Sorry? Pear trees. Yes, maybe pear trees. John, you had your thought there? No? Oak trees, yes. And also the big punga trees. And if you go past some down there by the High Court, it's actually very, very noisy around about at dusk time or when the sun's going down. Why is it noisy? They're all coming back and settling after the day's work, and it's a noisy place. And so in some ways, the kingdom of God, doesn't sound quite right, but the kingdom of God should be a noisy place. It should be a place where people come, families are there, and people are nourished and fed. And so Jesus is kind of using a tree that people knew and that he was working off to tell them something that they didn't know. So what is he trying to tell them that they didn't know? The kingdom of God is like this. So when he says, this is the tree, and this is what the kingdom of God is like, what he's saying is, the kingdom of God, the place where people could congregate, is a place where people can come and be a family, be together, be fed, be nurtured, and grow, and be sheltered. So that's the first thing. The second one that he talks about is yeast. And yeast is that part of in a bread that makes the bread ferment and grow and rise. And so can we have the picture next, please? This was just yesterday at the ASB showgrounds. What's happening there? It's yeast, it's dough naturally fermenting, and they're just saying this: the amount of yeast in this is only half a teaspoon. Yeah, it's half a teaspoon. And so what he's saying there is a couple of things. One is that you do not need a whole heap of people to make a difference. A small church in a city like the size of Auckland can make a big difference. A small number of people who are determined, who have a vision, who have a passion, can make a difference in a place with a whole heap more people than they have. So 12 people, Jesus's 12 disciples, made a massive difference in Jerusalem, and of course they are here. Their work is why we're here today. So the other point about this, of course, is what do you have to do to get the yeast into the dough? You have to knead it, and it has to be in every part of the dough. And one of the commentators on this passage made the point that, you know, who was Jesus thinking of when he thought about a woman kneading the dough? It was a woman's work at the time. And the commentator said Jesus would be thinking of Mary, his mother, making dough, because there were no bread shops. So Jesus would be working off his own experience, talking about what he had seen in his own family, in his own house, as he told this parable. And every other person in that place who was listening to him would have thought about that as well. However, we've got a problem. We don't see Mum at home kneading dough. Vivian, you don't need dough, do you? No, so Ginny won't see, and it's in her home. People kneading dough. And kneading means pressuring and putting and moulding the dough, their ferment or the yeast into the dough. Where do we get our bread? Countdown, right? So, or New World. So we don't see this whole process. So in another sense, we've got to think, as Christians today, we think about what are the things that people today know that we can talk about in order to tell them what they don't know. But again, just looking briefly at these passages, the kingdom of God here is like a begins small and grows big. It provides a home and shelter for everyone. It is unseen. This is the other part about the yeast. You don't see it working. And you don't necessarily see the Holy Spirit working among us. And we don't see how God is particularly working in our community at any particular time. However, we should not be disappointed. We should not be discouraged. God is working like yeast in dough. Our responsibility is just to put the yeast throughout the whole of our city. And that, for us, I think, is just, we can say, is the inner city. So how can we put the dough, or how can we put the yeast, how can we put the gospel in each part of the city is our challenge. But what happens if you put too much yeast in dough? Does anyone know what happens if you put too much yeast in dough? I saw this once in a bakery in Christchurch. They did it deliberately to show for this. I was a life boy at the time, and they put too much yeast in the dough as part of a demonstration of what will happen. And they put it in, it grew and grew and grew, and then exploded. And boom! And so it was actually quite dramatic to see yeast exploding, or the bread exploding, because there had been too much. And so in some ways, we need to think about that image. And it's one way I think Jesus would have known that. And I think what he's saying is that to follow Jesus sometimes is a challenge. And we need to think about carefully what we are doing and how we to do it. It's not to say we can't have too much of the Holy Spirit. Of course not. The idea is that I think maybe that we can work with here is that as Christians, we have to think carefully about how we handle and how we present the gospel in our society today. So as we look at our community here, what can we say that people know, and tell them what they don't know? What are the images around Auckland City that people know and think about? What are some of the things that you think of immediately when you think of Auckland? Bad traffic, possibly. Yeah, can you get a parable out of bad traffic? Or volcanoes, right? Water, boats. Some ways we have to begin to think about what are the things that Auckland people know and talk about and enjoy, and start there and be with them in those places as we start to explain to them what the gospel is. One of the things I've been interested in doing over the last little while is looking at how this church began. And just to give you a very short moment, how this church here began. It began in 1893, up here at the YMCA, and there were 8 people there. And they did what they started a English class. And this English class was run by a returned missionary, and eventually they called a Chinese missionary from Victoria in Australia. And he came over and taught them. And one of the things he had to deal with is the image of the Chinese people had of Christianity. And the Chinese people at that stage thought that Christianity was a Western religion, only for Western people. And so he had to get around the notion that Christianity was just for Western people, and it was only for, it was not for Chinese people. How would you explain the gospel to somebody who is in that situation? Any idea? So he tried to explain the gospel in a whole different way of saying it is not just for Chinese people. It is began, in fact, with non-Western people. And it began in the Middle East. It actually began in Asia. So one of the things he talked about was how the gospel was, in fact, an Asian religion, not a Western religion. And we can talk about that more at a later point. However, the last little thing I just want to say today is that the gospel, the church today, is a little like an adapter plug. And one of the images I want us to think about as our image for the future, for the next little while, is what it means for the church to be like an adapter plug here today. What does an adapter plug do? if you go to if you take a piece of New Zealand machinery to Taiwan or to China, can you use it if you plug it in? Nope. What's the problem? The pin structure and the voltage are different. Right, and so what do you need before you go? You need a plug which has the pin structure in China and the pins on one side and the pin structure of New Zealand on the other. And that you plug into the electricity in the Chinese socket, and you plug your machine into the other side of the adapter plug. What does that image suggest? It suggests that as Christians, we need to start thinking about how we express the gospel in the gospel that has been the same for 2,000 years, but the gospel which needs to be interpreted for today. How do we tap into the electricity of the gospel of that time, but also understand how, change it or adapt it so that people today can understand? Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished. It is finished. The gospel is finished. The message is finished. All we have to do is accept it and announce it." However, the time has changed. The times in which we live have changed. And the times, the way people think, have changed. And so we need to understand what people know and tell them what they don't know. Just as Jesus told people what they used what people knew and told them what they don't know. So we may have to think of a kiwi, New Zealand tree. What New Zealand tree do you immediately think of? Puhutukawa. Yeah, a Puhutukawa. And why is very good? Why is a Puhutukawa? This is one I thought of. Why is a Puhutukawa tree a symbol of New Zealand? When does it blossom? Christmas. Okay, so it's a New Zealand Christmas tree. It's the New Zealand Christmas tree. And so we could say that the gospel is like the Puhutukawa, which blossoms at Christmas to announce the birth of Jesus and the coming of summer. And so the Puhutukawa tree is a symbol of Christmas. Everyone in New Zealand knows it, and you can use that, perhaps, as a way of expressing how Jesus has come among us and how Jesus has been born among us. One of the pictures of that was recorded by Captain Cook is that the first thing he saw was the Puhutukawa tree on the shore as a sign of welcome. And he knew then that he was seeing land, and the land was New Zealand. So let's pray together. Lord God, we thank and praise you that you have called us to be your family here. We pray again for Ginny and for her family and for us all as we make this next step in our journey of faith. We pray that you would bless us and encourage us in all that we do. Help us to interpret for the city around us what your gospel is. Your gospel has not changed over 2,000 years. It is still the same gospel, and it is finished. You have announced the kingdom of God. You have explained it and made it known. We have accepted it, we have believed it, and now it is for us to announce it. Help us to announce it in ways that people will understand and will be able to accept for themselves, and they too then will announce it to others. And so we thank and praise you for this time together, and we praise you for this worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.